Good morning. Good to see you today. We are going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 today, so go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. But today is it's a very special day today. First off, obviously, it's Father's Day, so make sure you call your dad and wish him a happy Father's Day. Tell him your favorite dad joke. My dad actually called me today to let me know that he got a new job as a top executive at Old McDonald's Farm. He's the CIEIO. All right, so if you don't know any dad jokes, feel free to steal that one, all right, when you call your dad and wish him Happy Father's Day. All right. But today, even more exciting than Father's Day, we are baptizing people today. That is like, it's always one of the highlights of the year, one of the best Sundays of the year. We've got 2 people in this service and 10 in the second service. And so can't wait for that. Now the format of today's service is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to speak a little bit shorter amount of time today. Sadly, not much shorter, but it is going to be a little bit shorter of a sermon. We're going to talk about baptism for a little bit, and then we're going to bring people up to be baptized. And then after the second service, after everyone's been baptized, this is not quite as exciting, but we are officially kicking off the Kidstruction Project, as we've talked about already. Our volunteer demo team is getting to work. We said goodbye to an old friend on Thursday. If we can get that image up. I had to take a picture of this iconic moment. The Blue Room Risers are no more. It took 4 people to get those things apart because they were well built, even after 40 years. Blue Room Risers are no more. So thank you, volunteers, for those of you who are given a few hours here on Father's Day. If you didn't sign up, still feel free to come after the second service. It's going to save us a lot of money to do the demo work ourselves. Now, the timing of Father's Day and of the Kidstruction Project, these are all fitting because we have a lot of kids getting baptized today. And I think that's a testament to where we are as a congregation. And we're going to hear their stories, and we're going to get to see some of their parents and grandparents baptize the kids, and it's just going to be a really special time. But before we get to the baptisms, I said I do want to share a couple words on baptism, and we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 for that. Earlier, we watched a video interview of Chad and Michelle, and I love one of the things that Chad said, and you guys even, I could tell that you liked it too, but he said, you know, we don't have the power to raise our kids on our own. And he said, if we did everything right, we did our absolute best, the most that we could hope for is well-behaved little hypocrites, right? I love that. That's so true. It's so true. Our kids, they need a church family to raise them in the Lord. And it's not just our kids that need that. Like, we need a church family to raise us in the Lord. And baptism is a sign of that, right? When you are baptized, you're baptized into a body of Christ, into the body of Christ. And it's a sign of your participation in a new community. And Paul talks about this new community, the body of Christ, in 1 Corinthians 12. And so that's why I wanted to share from that passage today. Now, we talked about the founding of the church in Corinth in our sermon series on Acts. The church was founded by Paul during his second missionary journey, and he stayed there for about 18 months, which is a really long time for Paul. Usually he was run out of town way before that. But he was in Corinth for 18 months, and then when he left, he went to Ephesus, where he stayed for 2 years, which is also a really long time for him. And while Paul was in Ephesus, Chloe's people, and we don't know who those people are, but Chloe's people come to visit him from Corinth, and Paul mentions them in 1 Corinthians 1. And Chloe's people give Paul an update on the church, how things are going, and they also ask him some questions that the congregation has come up with. And so Paul, he answers their questions in this letter that we now call 1 Corinthians. And he gave it to Chloe's people, whoever they were, and they brought it back to Corinth for the whole church to read. Now, I mentioned that in addition to asking Paul questions that the Corinthians had for Paul, that Chloe's people also gave Paul a report on how things were going in the Corinthian church. And that report was not good. They kind of tattled on the church, and they told Paul all of the bad things that were going on. And we don't have a record of this report, but from what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, we can kind of piece things together about what was going on. And the picture we get is of a church divided. There are factions in the church. And in chapter 11, Paul refers to one of these factions as the haves, he calls them the haves, and another one as the have-nots. And the haves, they were probably wealthy landowners, and they probably didn't have to work, and so they were able to show up to church early because they didn't have a job. So they showed up to church early, and they brought like a ton of food and a ton of wine with them. And they spoke in tongues, and they pretty much thought that they had arrived spiritually. And then you have this other group, the have-nots, and these people probably worked in the fields until late in the day. Some of them may have even been slaves. And they showed up to church late, and they didn't really have anything to bring with them. And so by the time they got to church, the haves had been there for quite a long time, eating and drinking, to the point that many of them, they were just like stuffed with food and literally drunk on the communion wine. And they didn't have anything left to share with the poor who were coming in later. And so all of this was making this group that Paul calls the have-nots, it was all making them feel ashamed of their condition. And so a big chunk of 1 Corinthians is dedicated to Paul kind of sorting this whole thing out. And in chapter 11, he kind of goes off on all this food stuff. And he's like, man, if you're hungry, eat at your own house. Like, don't bring a ton of food and wine to the church and get stuffed and drunk, and so that when the poor show up, they see all your dirty dishes and they feel ashamed about all the things that you have and they don't. Paul is angry in a lot of 1 Corinthians, and I feel like if you read it out loud and do it in an angry voice, the letter reads like more authentic, okay? But in chapter 12, this is what we're going to look at today, Paul shifts away from all the food stuff, and he gets to spiritual gifts. And it's kind of the same things going on. Just as the Corinthians were using the Lord's Supper to shame one another, they were also using spiritual gifts to humiliate one another. The ones who spoke in tongues kind of had this attitude of, we speak in tongues, we're God's favorite, we don't need the rest of you. And so Paul goes off on them in chapter 12, and it's another angry chapter. I'm not going to yell at them. We're gonna start in verse 4 just to get a context of what's going on in the church before we get to the verses that we're going to emphasize today. But starting in verse 4, Paul says, now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So in these first verses here, we kind of get this background of the problem in Corinth. Not everyone in the congregation was gifted in the same way. And some people who were gifted in one way were looking down on people who were gifted in another way. And Paul says, look, all of these gifts come from the same God. There's a variety of kinds of gifts, but they all come from the same Spirit, and all of these gifts are granted to you to build each other up. They're all for the common good. And then we get to Paul's main theological statement. And in this, he talks about baptism. That's why I wanted to talk about this passage today. Verse 12, he's going to bring up baptism. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." And so Paul's like, just like your body is one, even though you've got all these different parts, you know, head, shoulders, knees, toes, thank you, yes. He's like, just like that. So also the church is one body, even though it's made up of all different kinds of individuals who make it up. And further, he says, you don't surrender the things that make you an individual when you become a Christian. He's like, there's room for diversity in the church. He says, Jews and Greeks, slave and free, were all made to drink of one spirit. So if you were Jewish before you became a Christian, you're Jewish after you become a Christian. If you were Greek before you became a Christian, you're Greek after you become a Christian. There's room for diversity in the church. We don't all have to be the same. Your baptism doesn't rob you of your identity. It immerses you into a new community full of people, all kinds of people, who need each other and who build each other up. And so today, we're baptizing a lot of people today. We've got two in this service, 10 in the second service. And baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. And that reality is that through faith, these baptism candidates have drunk of the same spirit as the rest of us and have been united to Christ. And we're here today to celebrate that publicly. And there's two implications of that for us to consider today, especially since so many of the kids getting baptized today are kids. We would never do this intentionally, but I think sometimes unintentionally, when we see kids get baptized, we think, how cute. How cute. Now, we would never intentionally think of children as second-rate members of the congregation who have a lot of growing up to do before they really matter. But I think sometimes subconsciously and unintentionally, we think that this is true, which is kind of in our subconscious. And that's a grave mistake. It's a grave mistake. And Paul is going to start talking about this and why that is in verse 14. Verse 14, he says, "So, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, well, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body." Okay, so in these verses, Paul, he continues with this body image. And he says, you know, the human body has tons of parts, and not all these parts do the same thing, but they're all crucial to the survival of the body. Now, some of the parts might feel like they're less important. A foot might look at the hand and say, man, it must be really cool to be a hand. But sadly, I'm just a foot. I'm not important. Because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. And Paul's like, thinking like that, like, that doesn't make the foot any less a part of the body, does it? Does it? No, thank you. Appreciate it, John. Someone's tracking with me. All right. And we have a lot of kids getting baptized today, and it's a beautiful thing. And these children are part of our body on equal footing as the rest of us, those of us who are grown up. Leonardo da Vinci the artist and the inventor, not the Ninja Turtle. He said, when you, I love this illustration. He says, when you put your hand in a flowing stream, can you imagine that for a second? You put your hand in a flowing stream, you touch the last of what has gone before and the first of what is to come. I like that. You get the image? When you put your hand in a flowing stream, you touch the last of what's gone before and the first of what is to come. Now, the church is a flowing stream throughout all of history. And today is just like a snapshot of that flowing stream, like if you were to just stick your hand in that flowing stream. And in 30 years, we might look back on this moment and say, you know, some of the saints who were in the room at that moment are no longer with us. But that was the beginning for some of these little ones, who probably won't be so little in 30 years. Now, I've done a lot of baptisms here over the years, but the one that was the most powerful for me, I think I've told this before, was baptizing my own daughter, Avery. There was something really special about proclaiming over her, you know, based on your profession of faith, Avery, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there was something powerful about thinking of this, of Avery, this little girl, as my sister. You know, because she's my daughter, and you know, I changed her diapers, and I taught her how to talk, and how to ride a bike, and all those things that you teach kids. But she's my sister. And for all eternity in the kingdom of God, when she and I interact with one another, it won't be as father and daughter. It'll be his brother and sister. John Lucas and I, we interviewed Chad and Michelle for that video we played earlier. And one of the things that Chad said that sadly didn't make it into the video, but it was good nonetheless. He said, these aren't our kids. He's talking about his children. He said, these aren't our kids. These are God's kids who have been entrusted to us for a season. I love that. That's a really good perspective. And so when we look at these children, our natural tendency is to see them as kids. They have a lot of growing up to do. But they are our brothers and sisters. We are all one body. The church is a flowing stream, and today is just the first part of what is to come. So, Paul says, you know, if a foot looks at the hand and he thinks, man, it must be pretty cool to be a hand. I'm not a hand, therefore I'm not part of the body. Paul's like, that doesn't make it any less of the body, does it? Well, then he gets to the other side of it, and this is in verse 21. Where we're going to look at, he's got kind of a message for the hands. For the eyes, rather, I guess. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts don't require. But God has so composed the body, giving it greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members might have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So in the first verses, Paul says that, you know, one part of the body can't look at another part of the body and say, well, because I'm not that, I guess I'm not part of the body. But here he gives the other side. He says the eye can't look at the hand and say, I don't need you. Like, I'm an eye. I'm like the most important part of the body. I mean, who's ever cried because they got poked in the hand? I mean, come on, right? Paul's like, no. Some of the parts of our bodies that we think are weaker are actually indispensable. And he's like, and those parts of the body that we're kind of ashamed of, we put clothes over them and show them greater modesty and take more care of them. And he says, likewise, so it is in the body of Christ. We all need each other. We all need to take care of one another. Now, when we are baptized into a community. And we all need each other. Because as Chad said in the videos, none of us have all the answers. We all need each other. In his book on baptism called Wade in the Water, Eric Peterson, he tells the story of seeing one of his neighbors interacting with a newborn horse. So Eric's out on a walk, and one of his neighbors has horses, and he sees his neighbor having this interaction with a horse. And this is what he writes. He says, I shall never forget the scene. With a mug of black coffee in hand, I was on a walk through my woodsy, rural neighborhood early one spring morning. And as the sun began to bathe the landscape with light, I came over a hill, and I was able to look down into a horse corral where I saw my neighbor, Mary, hunched over a foal. And as I came closer, it became apparent that the foal had just been born. She was unsteady on her hooves and still wet. Now, while the mother mare stood close by and kept a watchful eye, Mary straddled the foal, pressing her face up against the side of the newborn's face, vigorously rubbing its neck. I've never seen anything like that before, but it looked very intimate, up close, even affectionate. Now, a day or two later, when I ran into Mary at the post office, I asked her about that peculiar morning. What was the thing that you were doing the other day with that foal? Now, very matter-of-factly, almost as if she was annoyed to have to explain such a thing to a city boy, Mary responded with a single word, imprinting. Now, seeing that the word wasn't registering for me, she continued, if, in the first hours of life, a horse is exposed to you, where it gets your smell, it hears your voice, it's much easier to train as it grows up. From now on, I'm like a surrogate mother to that horse, and it will respond to my voice and trust me to lead it. We've bonded. And then Eric continues, imprinting. A deep and meaningful relationship with God begins with our baptism into Christ, where we get acquainted with the voice of the Son and where we become familiar with his ways. Now, I think the implication for our church is clear, right? We need each other and we form each other. These young people getting baptized today, they are going to see Jesus in us. And likewise, we are going to be formed by them. We're all one body. So at this time, the band's going to come back up, and they are going to lead us in a song called O Come to the Altar. So we're all we're all going to stand, and we're going to sing the song together. And those of you who are getting baptized, you're going to line up over against that wall over there. But while we sing, I want you to reflect on your own baptism and your identity in Christ. We are all one body of Christ, and our common confession binds us together. The song says, O come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Consider your own baptism and celebrate the stream and the first of what is to come. Let's continue to worship here. Okay. First, we have Caroline Grimm. Caroline says that to be a Christian means to accept Jesus. He will always be with you and love you. Caroline became a Christian in kindergarten. She says she learned a lot about Jesus and she decided to ask him into her heart. And she wants to be baptized today to show people that she's a believer. And she has a verse for all of us. It's Philippians 4:13. Says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And she's here with her mom. Ready? You can take your shoes off, yeah.
Great job.
All right, next we have Julio Ledesma. Julio says that to be a Christian means to believe that I'm a sinner, and that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and to accept him into my heart. He says, on the evening of March 8th, 2015, he was listening to praise music with his parents, and soon it was time for him to go to bed. And so he went up to bed, and he started thinking through some of the songs that they were singing. And he got out of bed. It's a good reason to get out of bed at night. I like it. He got out of bed, and he told his mom that he wanted to become a Christian. And she was taking care of his little sister, and so she sent him downstairs to talk to his dad. And he and his dad talked about what it meant to be a Christian, and they prayed together. Since then, Julio's been involved in Awana, and he's grown in his relationship with Jesus, and he's been reading and studying God's word. And Julio wants to be baptized to show that he's a follower of Jesus, and that he's going to live his life for him. And he's here with his grandpa today. Great work, buddy. Good save, Grandpa. That's good. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this baptism service. Can we get another round of applause for all our baptism teams? Well, we are going to end with our time of response. We only have one song today for our response time. But while we sing, we're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You'll notice that there are kind of stations all over the place for that. If you're new here, if this is your first time here, know that you are free to join us, but you don't have to if that's uncomfortable. But while we sing and while we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I'd also love to pray for you. I'll be standing right back there to pray for you. Mike is going to be right back there in that corner. He would love to pray for you as well. So if there's something going on, big or small, we would love to pray for you. Let's let the people who are baptized go first, and then the rest of us can go. But these baptized today, they were baptized in the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again. And we remember that now. Will you stand with me while we prepare for the Lord's Supper? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Father, we celebrate today with these young ones and their profession of faith, and it is our praise and our worship of the faithfulness of Jesus in going to the cross on our behalf, and is our proclamation that he is risen from the dead. Father, it is also just a joy of ours to think of just this stream of history and those who have gone before and those who have yet to come, and our role to play in the story, and our role to play in the church. And I pray for these who, today is a big first day for them, that your hand will always be upon them, that your spirit will be with them, that they will know their importance to our congregation. I pray that you will remind the rest of us who may be a little bigger to see them as brothers and sisters and to treat them as such. We confess that we all need one another. We remember Jesus now, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.